Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hello there. My name is Michelle Brown Saffer, child prodigy mom and parental involvement activist, urging parents to get involved in their children's education. At the age of 13, our son, Stephen Stafford, became the youngest ever to enroll as a full-time regular student in Morehouse College's 150-year history. This occurred only after well-meaning educators failed to identify our son's gifts in the classroom. Knowing who our son was, my husband and I got involved and prevented Stephen from falling through the educational cracks. So parents, get involved. Stay involved. Your child's potential is definitely worth it.
If you think depression is all in a person's head, you're right. It's a brain illness. And like other illnesses, it has symptoms. A person suffering from depression might feel sad, empty, or numb. They might sleep more or less, eat a lot, or not at all, or show little interest in participating in ordinary activities. Mood swings, including anger and sadness, are common. They're often tired and have a hard time concentrating or making decisions. Depression can make those who suffer from it feel hopeless. It can even lead to suicide. If you see the symptoms of depression, get that person to a doctor. With medical help, depression can be treated and suicide can be prevented. Learn how to stop depression from taking another life. Call SAVE, Suicide Awareness Voices of Education, 1-888-511-SAVE, on the web at save.org.
Life Conversations works with people to increase their organizational and individual potential by assisting them in identifying habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations that hinder their performance professionally and socially. Life Conversations is committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. To the community. To the community. To the community. To the community.
What do you want to say today? What do you want to know? Started slipping away. Hey, when we started getting old, the rainbow never lost its true meaning. Indigo children arrive, prophecy to be born. Recognize the signs that are around you. Time to shine that light and break out from the norm. The universe is calling you to raise your daughters and sons. The universe is calling you. There's some healing work to be done. Universe is calling you, build a legacy of love. The universe is calling you, when you gonna pick it up? Oh, life is so much more than that 9 to 5. It's so much more than the zeros and ones. We're living out of tune and rarely feel truly alive. When's the last time you walked barefoot on earth and with open arms embraced the sun? There's a miracle in your eyes. It's reflected in the sky. See, we are the rainbow children sent here to unify. You may not see it yet, oh no, but it's coming, oh yeah. calling you to raise your daughters and sons. The universe is calling you. There's some healing work to be done. The universe is calling you. Build a legacy of love. The universe is calling you. Tell me when you're gonna pick it up. 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 Whoa.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Okay, wait a minute. All this time I've been talking, huh? And I don't know if that was you, Betty, but I'm just going to leave it alone. I blame it on the planets. All this time I've been having such a wonderful time, but I was talking to myself. My microphone was muted. I think it's you, Betty. I think it's you. So, let's start the show all over again. So we've had, what, let's see, 10, I don't know. I don't know. It really doesn't matter. So now, let's start over again. Mukure, the rainbow. I can't even do that. It just sounds so crazy. Well, okay, so yeah, Mukure was the song I played. Thank God for the rainbow. Actually, I think I need some inspiration here. I'll blame it on the planet. I need some inspiration here. Let's do this. Because I was in a zone. Oh, my God, if you heard what I said. You'd be nourished and transformed and fulfilled. So I need some inspiration. Come on, Mukure, help me. I didn't hear all that great stuff I was sharing. Okay, just don't sing too loud. It's my show, okay? My God. Okay, I'm trying to get in the zone. Let me turn it back up a bit. What do you want to know? Okay, good. Here we go. Yes, just keep it going like this, right there. Time started slipping away. All right, I'm ready now, Mukure. You can turn it down a little bit. Okay, yes, Mukure, rainbow. Woo, there's a comfort going on in me. Mr. Perfection inside of me is like, what was that all about? But there's another part of it that says, listen, all is well, brother man. Yes, all is well, but come on, man. Come on. What's going on? Home, Shanti, home. So yeah, Mukure, rainbow. You can find him on Facebook. Like I'm repeating myself. I do that quite a lot anyway, so no big deal. Mukure is on Facebook to find out all the great work he's doing. And yes, good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. This is so crazy. It is so nuts. But anyway, welcome. And this has so thrown me off. But you know what? I am the master of my universe. So I welcome all of you in the chat room. Who phone is private messages. No sound, no sound, no sound. Elevate the soul. Welcome, welcome, my brother, Glenda Springer. She's not married to Jerry Springer, so don't get it twisted. They just have the same laugh. Glenda Springer's in the house. Peaceful, lovely lady. Peaceful, lovely lady's in the house. Peaceful, lovely lady. I read that backwards. Maybe I'm autistic. In the chat room, her username is Lady Lovely Peace, but I like Peaceful Lovely Lady. Well, I'm not reading that, I'm adding to it. But anyway, here I am, here we are. Sound, let there be sound, let there be, and all is truly well. Thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. When you become the change you want to see, you can't help but make a difference. You become the change. You become the difference. You become the answer prayer. You become the light. And you keep it moving no matter what. All is truly well. You are listening to Ask Life Coach Ade. And I got some announcements for you here. August 17th. Double check that day, because this is that time of the month where things can just kind of get a little bit fuzzy. Keeps us on our toes. That's all I got to say about that. August 17th, we're going to have one of my wonderful teachers join us, Deborah Johnson, Reverend Deborah Johnson, the author of Sacred Yes. Make sure you mark your calendars. And also August 12th, 2011. That's a Friday. My dear friend and I, Dr. Stephanie Sears, are facilitating a webinar, the Business of Being Coaching Program. That's August 12th, 2011. For more information, you can send us an email, info@thebusinessofbeing.com. info@thebusinessofbeing.com. This is where we teach you to do business for the universe so that your business, if you're thinking of getting into business or you're already in business, will teach you how to create a business that's an extension of who you truly are, not what others say your business needs to be. That's August 12, 2011. And the email address, once again, is info@thebusinessofbeing.com. info@thebusinessofbeing.com. All is well. All is truly well. Welcome all of you, Donna, Tanya, Celeste, Glenda, those of you silent listeners, those of you listening to the show on the archives, listen to the show live, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing with your family members, co-workers. Oh boy, I need help. You know us spiritual teachers, we talk about when things are like pull on an affirmation. I need to ground myself a little bit, because I want to ground myself. I don't have to have a reason to ground myself. What are you doing? There's no need for that. Just pull up. Carly, help. I need help.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed, I am love, I am great, I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
And that's the truth. I am free. I don't care what happens. So it's one of those days that we just have to go with the flow, like my co-producer said to me today. It's one of those days, one of those moments. So now, today I'm going to bring my guest on. My guest is ready and waiting. She's waiting. She can't even wait. She's like, come on, honey, bring me on. I got you. And some of you are saying, she? What do you mean, she? Well, Rupert is not here. But Adanya is here. And together we're just going to knock it out of the ballpark. Out with you, Adanya. Don't ask me what's going on. We'll just stay in the moment and do what we do. Isn't life grand?
Blessings our day.
Blessings indeed. Rain on me.
You know, I had to call in from a different phone. I called in from my other line going, how come I don't hear anything? I was like, I was, you know, getting ready to call T-Mobile and have a nice little blessed conversation as to why my cell service suddenly went out. And it was just very amusing to hear. Absolutely what I needed to hear was probably silence so that I, too, can get into my space. So... So that was divine.
I mean, I know I had my microphone. I looked at my switchboard. It was unmuted, and suddenly I went to the chat room, and Betty said, no sound. I'm like, what do you mean, no sound? You mean all this time I've been talking, and you guys haven't been hearing all the wonderful downloads? But, you know, it's life. When life happens, you just show up.
Hey.
You just show up. And speaking of showing up, let me read a little bit about my guests. Adonia, who have interviewed maybe about 2 years ago, actually, and we had a wonderful time. But let me pull this up. Adonia Wong is the author of In My Mind, The World Through the Eyes of Autism. She's the owner of Reiki Transformation, CEO of Now and Then Production, a social advocate who believes in living a life of service through her businesses, as well as volunteering her time to organizations whose mission are serving and bettering the lives of the people within their community. Yes, and you're going to find out more about my friend. She's busy. She's sending you healing from a distance. She's showing up as an author, as well as recognizing in this moment you can find your peace. You can find out more about her by going to her website, nowandthenproductions.com. My dear sister friend, thank you for being here. Thank you for saying yes. This is a divine appointment. No accidents, no mistakes, no technical difficulties, just how life is supposed to happen. So I'm grateful that you're here.
And I am so humbled and honored to be joining you today. Again, I mean, it was fun a couple of years ago, and here we are again. So thank you again for the invitation. I really appreciate it.
Yes, I mean, there's so much. I want to say this. I'm feeling led. You talk about now and then. And now and then, this now. You know, I always talk about the power of now. And really, when we learn to be in this now time, we get to step into our power. I think it was early part of this week or sometime last week, you made a comment on Facebook, and I just said, I responded back to you, and I just had this nudge to invite you to be part of the conversation with Rupert, you know, and I thought, yeah, it would be nice to have different perspective. Well, different, you guys are sort of on the same line anyway. You see autism as a gift and more, and I just followed the hunch. And you immediately said, yes, you'd be honored to be there. And then the last few days, things were showing up as things shows happened. And I'm like, okay, we're going to go with the flow. And it turns out, you know, you were the one that were able to make it. In my mind, my logical mind, I find myself entertaining the thought, wow, what would have happened if I never followed that intuitive thought, that nudge to invite you? And the importance of paying attention to now for all of us, no matter what we're dealing with, if we have children who are autistic or not, if we're having struggling at work, now, this moment called now. It's so important. And as the CEO of Now and Then, speak to me of now, oh wise one.
Well, you know, we've all had our journey, and we're all on our journey. We've all taken so many beautiful paths, and we may or may not have seen the beauty in them as we were traveling. But one day as I was meditating, Now and Then showed up for me, because that is what my guides remind me of. That's kind of like my daily reminder from them, is it's one thing to be in the now, but it's another thing to experience that moment, because that's all we ever have. Oop, there goes another moment. Oop, there goes another one. I mean, that's all we really have is our now. But to be able to experience it coming from a place of peace, and I know that's sometimes easier said than done. You know, not everybody has ambitions of being a Zen monk, and kudos to those who have that on their bucket list. But for me, it was just that gentle reminder to, as I am being present, to be so and hold that moment in reverence and to really appreciate what it is that that teeny tiny in this physical world, it's really teeny moment brings to me. And so that's how, that is my now and my Zen moments. They are one and the same, and I do my best to be mindful mm-hmm. as often as possible. But, you know, the other thing is hey, I incarnated so that I could be human. If I wanted to be, you know, now and then all the time and never experience any emotions and all these really fantastic 3D experiences, I would have stayed up in the ethers playing, you know, fairy tag dust or fairy dust tag with my spirit friends. But no, I chose this 3D experience. So, I understand, like everyone, that, you know, when life shows up, you know, sometimes it is difficult to be mm-hmm. present, and that's what makes us, you know, the beautiful and unique humans that we are.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And, you know, and for some people this may be an interesting idea, but we came here knowing that this. We came here knowing what we're experiencing already. It was almost like taking a trip and saying we're going to Australia. So we know we're going to visit here, we're going to visit there. We came on this planet. Now, that might be far out for some people, so be it. But, you know, now you've heard it, you can think about that. So when we recognize that, why not be in the now and experience the Zen that is already here? Because in this moment is where we get to experience that Zen moment. You get to experience the peace, and life is going to continue to be alive. You're talking about the gift of autism. I know you didn't plan for that, and we're going to talk more about that. But I want to ask you a question that I've asked you before. I always ask my guests, but because we're in now and Zen moment, we have to go where we went. We didn't go anywhere. We're just going with the flow. So here's my first question for you, Adonia. Who are you? Who is Adonia Wong?
Your show is how long? wow, you know, I love that at one point I used to say I was a chameleon because and in some ways that really does fit who I am. I have revisited my life so many times, and I'm only 43, just a wee babe. And but man, the stories I could share because my life has been extremely colorful. So who I am is you know, I'm just a human who is doing my best in every moment to be the best version of me. And like I mentioned before, you said that I didn't plan for autism, but perhaps I did. You know, a lot of people believe in the, you know, that we come down with our soul contracts, and mm-hmm. perhaps this was definitely something that I was ready due to my own evolution to experience, because I obviously have the shoulders, you know, to move through life with this particular experience. So see, who I am is just someone who's moving about life and trying to be of service as much as I can. I sometimes get a wee bit emotional when I think about my relationship with people, with humanity. So that is really what I'm about right now.
Yes.
And that's the important part, is who am I right now?
Right now, is it? It's so true, because it changes all the time. And, you know, sometimes I'm in a Zen moment, sometimes I'm in a woo moment.
Exactly.
Yeah, let's just call it a woo moment. You know, We got an article here, and I'll share Betty. Betty, can you share that link in the chat room for me, please? That we got from a website called the National Center for Biotechnology Information, and I just want to read how they describe autism, or definition, if you will. They said autism is a physical condition linked to abnormal biology and chemistry in the brain. The exact causes of this abnormalities remain unknown, but this is a very active area of research. There are probably a combination of factors that lead to autism. Genetic factors seem to be important. For example, and this is an interesting part, this is what they're saying here. For example, identical twins are more likely than fraternal twins or siblings to both have autism. Similarly, language abnormalities are more common in relatives of autistic children. Chromosomal abnormalities, there you go, and other nervous system neurological problems are also common in families with autism. So when I read this, they're talking about, you know, you can track this, and it made me wonder. Now, of course, I'm not a medical person, but I do have it made me raise my eyebrows went up just without me trying, like, whoa, what, really? And then they said a number of other possible causes have been suspected but not proven. They involve diet, digestive tract changes, mercury poisoning, the body's inability to properly use vitamins and minerals, and vaccine sensitivity. And he goes on to break down. It's actually a long article. And, you know, of course, from a medical perspective, it has to do with the brain. It's an abnormal biological thing happening in the brain. And, you know, we have a mother, Adonia Wong, who's dealing with this. How do you see autism?
Well, what's interesting is I'm thankful that as you were reading, you know, that little excerpt, that every time you said abnormal, that I didn't cringe. And there was a time when I absolutely would have, because I am going to have to breathe today, because this is a very emotional topic for me, because there is nothing abnormal about my son. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with him. So, and I'm not in denial. I have been living with the diagnosis since I sat across from a desk in 2005. But who knows whether or not I had been living with it, you know, from the moment he was conceived in 2000. One does not know. We could go on and on and on about what it is or what may have caused it, but what I believe that does is it just keeps a can of worms open that begets more discomfort. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, I think it also brings on a lack of real understanding and compassion, but above all, acceptance. So for me, it's did I always see autism as a gift? No, I didn't, because I didn't know what it was. I had never heard of it. It was definitely not part of my family circle, not that I know of. One never knows. You know, we have one of the 60s. You know, in the 60s kids, you know, if you heard something, next thing you know, the person was institutionalized. So it wasn't, we weren't surrounded by another uniquely abled individual. So when it came into my life, and I use the word it extremely loosely, and I'm not referring to my son, just the diagnosis itself, I didn't know what to do. And so I, you know, was very fearful, very, very afraid, and I am very grateful for my own inner work, because I have been able to look at my son and observe him in quiet observation and really see just how amazing he is. And it has shifted my life mm-hmm. in the most profound way. So
mm-hmm.
I have to take a deep breath because, like I said, I don't want to be a crybaby on
No, I got you, my friend. I got
deeply.
You.
I love him deeply.
And that's what is missing. That's what's always missing when we're doing experiments, the heart, the love, the real part of it. And I got you. I understand. When I was reading the article, because of what I do, I know sometimes I have to be open-minded. And I was reading the article. I'm like, yeah, whatever, because I'm biased. I believe everything starts from the spirit. So when we talk about abnormalities, when you talk about in the chemical abnormalities and whatever, it's like from a scientific perspective, that's like trying to learn about a computer just by dealing with the one that I have, because I believe that scientists, we need them, and they do wonderful work. Doctors, so-called experts, they're doing great work, but we shouldn't limit it to just what the medical institution is saying. We need to look at the whole human being. Because, I thought of the title that we gave the show, The Gift of Autism. And I went back and forth a little bit. There are some parents who don't see autism as a gift. I have worked and been around children who are autistic, and I know for me, it was hard to sometimes see the gift because it required me to learn a different way of communicating. And for teachers, I've worked with teachers who are just saying it's just difficult. So to actually call it the gift of autism, I know with you and Rupert, just watching Rupert's documentary, The Horse Boy, I mean, I received the gift because it shared with me, it showed me that, there's some things we don't understand with our intellect. Our intellect would not bring us a clear understanding. But if we trust the process of life, you can get to see what's really going on. And, your story and how you said, maybe you didn't see it as a gift, but now you do. I want to ask you, what are the things that has happened, or how did you move from that place of confusion, if you were there, or I don't know, guilt, shame, or whatever you may have thought of, and you can share that with us, to a place now where you actually see it as a gift?
I was, absolutely, like a lot of parents, I did feel the guilt, because I had had some wild younger years, and, household cleaners, I was the one who was, what do you mean I can't mix Comet and Pilex and ammonia? What? Please, I need a clean house. And I mean, I did all those things. My mother did all those. Well, as far as the cleaning stuff, she was very conservative. But we did all of these things. So I was guilty. Did I do this to my child? And it was my own desire, because I didn't. The one thing I was clear on was that he didn't need to be fixed. I knew that much. I don't know how I knew that much, but that much was clear. The healing that had to take place, if anyone needed to be fixed, it was I had to deal with me and the things that I had been stuffing down within myself. And that is when I really started walking rather heavily and diligently on my own spiritual path and bettering my relationship, with God, Source, the universe, whatever makes you comfy. It was my own desire and I guess more so a need to heal myself that really allowed my eyes and my heart to fully embrace what I had obviously signed up for before I showed up as Adanya. So he is fine. I was the one that absolutely needed to be fixed. And you brought up communication, and when we think of abnormalities or abnormal, who is normal when we are to think about humanity? Is what is normal? And when it comes to communication, it's pretty obvious mm-hmm. as a species that we need a lot of assistance uh-huh. when it comes to how we interact and communicate with one another. So for me, the gift in autism was just that. It was uh-huh. learning how to communicate in a way that didn't take me outside my comfort zone, but expanded my comfort zone mm-hmm. so that I could come from a more peaceful place. And like I say, I have my moments where I'm like, what the heck? And then I go outside and I breathe. But, right. but it's really about the communication, because my son and I don't often have two-way conversations like you and I are having now. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people I know would struggle with that. And in my early years with the diagnosis, it was definitely something that challenged me. Now, it frustrated him because he's like, what's wrong with you? But you can't read my mind, you know?
Right.
How come you're not understanding what it is that I'm trying to say to you? Because he's one of these, I'm up here in the higher realms, and I'll just wait for you to catch up. So, really,
you unevolved mother.
He was like, and I picked you. Oh, right. He's like, I picked you because you needed help, and I'm grateful that I was chosen for this particular path, because it's really helped me in my own communication style and how I interact with people. So.
Yes. You are listening to Ask Life Coach Ade, and today's topic is autism. We're asking, we're saying autism is a gift. Is it or not? Do you have a different experience? The number is 347-426-3346. Do you have a question for Adonia? Maybe you know a family member who has an autistic child. Maybe you're dealing with it, but you're struggling with being, and maybe you're hearing what she's saying, and you're like, well, I'm not quite there. Or maybe you just have an experience that you want to share with us, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. We're going to take a quick break. I've got something for you, Adonia. You may have heard this before or not. And I got something for the listeners, too. I'm just going to leave it that generic. But you don't want to miss it. You don't want to listen. If you got to go, you got to hear this. It is really good because Adonia just spoke to it. I was just like, I'm loving how this is flowing. If you want to find out more about Adonia, you can go to her website, Now and Zen Productions, and you can find out some other things that she's up to. She is making magic happen. She's being the change you want to see, and you are listening to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins, and you are part of the difference.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Mom?
Dad?
You think if we talk about sex, I'll no longer be your little muffin head.
Your pumpkin face. Talk to me about sex.
Tell me to wait.
Sure, it'll change our relationship.
It'll make us closer.
And go to fourparents.gov.
For help on how to talk about sex.
This is important.
Tell me to wait to have sex.
And don't worry. I'll always be your muffin head.
Your cuddle bug.
Your butterbean.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Yes, indeed, we dare you to live your best life and you want to listen to this. This is what Abraham has to say about autistic children. I was listening to this yesterday and I was blown away. Now, all I need to do is just find it and we'll play it. Let's go in a Zen moment, step into the now, and there we go. See, all you got to do is just slow down. All is well.
Yeah.
Something more?
Well, I also work with children that have disabilities. They have autism, and my biggest question is, I'm trying to understand, you mentioned a little bit about this earlier, but who created the autism or the disease for a child that didn't have a choice?
Everyone has a choice, and for there are a number of things that we want to give you about this. First and foremost, every one of you who makes the decision to come forth into these physical bodies has full view of the physical body you're coming into before you come. So no one gets trapped in a situation that is different from what they want. No exceptions to that. That's helpful to know. Really a downstream feeling thought, isn't it? Now, there are powerful teachers, especially now who are coming forth, who have been, from their non-physical vantage point, aware that there are so many humans who have forgotten about vibration and alignment, who are disregarding their own guidance system, who are trying to make their life work by trying to control conditions. And the teacher in you knows that anybody that's trying to make anything better by controlling conditions is going to experience a life of futility, because there will always be those conditions you can't control, because it's not your job or your right or your ability to control what's going on in everybody's experience around you. Their lives are their lives to create and control. So rather large numbers of energies are coming in deliberately wanting a physical condition that they can't be talked out of or demanded out of. In other words, they say, I'll go forth and I'll be different enough that you can't pound this square peg into a round hole. No matter how hard you try, you're not going to be able to control me. I'm going to be free, you see. So as you interact with them, if you get the wonderful experience of interacting with them when they're not being challenged by a system that's trying to change them. In other words, imagine how frustrating that would be, to be fulfilling your intent from your source perspective and making it all the way into a physical body different enough that people can't control you, and then notice they're still trying to control you. That's the frustration and outrage that you see in them. They want to say to you, and if they were better with their words, they would say to you, wait a minute, I went to a lot of trouble to be different. You're supposed to leave me alone. And those that are in an environment where somebody's not now trying very hard to make them normal, you called it a disability, they would call it an advantage. In other words, from source perspective, it would go something like, I decided that I'm going to take the powerful being that I am, and I'm going to go forth into a physical experience, and I'm going to be different enough that you can't control me, which means I'm going to be one of the few people on the planet that you'll ever meet that knows that I am free. Because I choose freedom over your approval of me. And then the society, who is embarrassed by them or worried about them, is forever trying to, oh, we'll just find one more way that we can bring you to normalcy. And they've come forth to say, we didn't want to be like you. That's why we chose to be different. We've come to offer a message that there is balance and value in our differences. We've come to teach unconditional love. Most people talk about unconditional love, but they don't live it. Most people say, oh, you're so sweet, I love you under those conditions, and you are so strange, I cannot love you under those. So if you would just be more like that, it would be ever so kind to me, because I want to love you, and if you were more like that, I would be able to love you. So just try to change a little bit so that I can feel better. Where unconditional love says, I want so much to be connected to Source that I will see whatever I'm looking at through the eyes of Source, which means I do not need you to be different so that I can feel better. I have the ability to adjust my gaze to align myself with Source. Unconditional love says, I will find connection with Source and then I will look. Conditional love says, I will ask you to be the way I need you to be so that when I look, I will feel better. Huge difference. Unconditional love is absolute freedom. Conditional love is absolute bondage. So these blessed beings have come forth as teachers of freedom. And interesting, the most interesting thing of all, they feel free even when you try to control them. It's such an interesting thing. So the autistic child feels free and isn't worried about anything. Have you noticed?
Exactly.
And the people that are trying to get them to be different so that they can feel better are in absolute bondage.
Right.
And the child says, I don't know what your problem is. And the teacher or parent says, you're the problem. And the child says, you kind of need to get over that because I can't change. If you're going to interact with me, you've got to discover unconditional love. And when you do, you'll be free like me. And then maybe so many of us won't have to come forth autistically in order to teach this to you. They're having a very good time.
Yeah.
Watch them up close and feel the joy of their being. And tell them, you need not change a hair for me.
Bless you. That's right. Thank you.
Doesn't that put a whole new spin on autism? Adonia, what do you think about that?
I love that DVD. When it showed up in the mail, I ordered it from Abraham Hicks, and I was bawling because I was like, that's what I'm talking about. Mm. I tell people constantly, if you would just watch, sometimes I don't even have to say it. People, when they see my son, they're like, he's so peaceful, or he's so joyful, or you can see the spirit dancing in his eyes. And I'm like, why on God's green earth would you ever want to change that?
Uh-huh.
What's so abnormal with that? And yes, he has his moments. If he's in an environment that, I'll use a spiritual term, sucks for him, there is no peace for him in that, because he's very empathic and he absorbs a lot of stuff that just does not feel good. And I am now in a space where I can recognize that. But the autistic revolution, that is exactly what you and I, you know, hinted on just minutes ago when I said Mom, I'm hanging out in the higher realms, and you catch up when you catch up, and
that's
I'll help you as best I can. And that's what he's doing for me. It's, you know, it's really funny is that I honestly feel in this lifetime that he came in as the teacher and me as the student. So, because there is so much to learn about somebody who, no matter what he is doing, he's very present, not concerned about anything else or distracted, or easily distracted by anything outside of him. Me, I'm like squirrel, you know, shiny object. What was I talking about? I mean, it's, you know, and so he is teaching me what it looks like. I actually have a physical example, because sometimes you need that tangible, which, you know, it is what it is. We're human, so why not? And sometimes you need to see it, and he is very much that for me. And so Abraham was, I'm watching that video. I'm going to watch that DVD again today. It's she says more, or they say more, the collective, they say more, and it is an amazing DVD, and I can't say enough about it. So.
I hear you. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade. Today we're focusing on autism as a gift, as an opportunity for the normal people to open up their eyes, their consciousness, and grow, and really embrace unconditional love, love without condition, love without conditions. If you're the normal one, learn to be unconditionally loving. I know it's not easy. It's not easy, but it's all about our own personal growth. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. My guest is Adonia Wong. She's an author. Her son is an autistic child. I don't even like that. Please correct me if you need to, because I don't even know how to say it. She has this experience that we're talking about, you know, because labeling has its place, but it also sometimes causes us to separate ourselves from other people. She's a mother of an enlightened child. Ah, I like that. Yes, that's better. What the medical field calls autism, they call it autism, but she's a mother of an enlightened child, and she's learning to step into his own world, in his world. If you want to find out more about her, you can go to her website. It's nowandzenproductions.com. nowandzenproductions.com. She also has another website, which is her name, Adonia Wong, ADONYAWONG.com. You can find out more about her. Adonia, we have a mother in the chat room. She said, it is always difficult to see it as a gift. So for her, it's difficult for her to see that what her daughter is going through as a gift. She says she's displaying some signs, but she hasn't quite gone with that label yet. And I'm actually grateful for that piece from Abraham Hicks. And or Abraham. And if you want to find out more about Abraham Hicks, you can go to their website. It's abraham-hicks.com, abraham-hicks.com. What would you say to a mother who's saying, you know, I'm seeing some signs, I haven't labeled it yet, but I'm seeing some signs and I don't know, I haven't got to that point of calling it a gift, of seeing it as a gift?
The first thing that comes to mind is when you remove the stigma of does my child have this? What does she see? Who does she see? When she's just observing her child, or when she's interacting with her child, is she interacting with a possible diagnosis, or is she interacting with someone who more than likely, like herself, just wants to be understood? So sometimes I think when we remove the heaviness of what a diagnosis can sometimes bring to the table, sometimes when we step away from that, we get a clearer picture. And sometimes our interactions are a lot lighter. And I know, because I was there in the beginning, I know when you're like, well, my kid's not talking. I mean, he's 19 months old. You know, I was chatty. I was running away from home at 18 months. What's going on? And so I understand where she is. But, you know, I was also very much alone. I didn't have radio shows or support groups, even though this was 2005. Sorry, I sometimes have to remember what year I received it. But I was very much in a time frame where all of this stuff was readily available to me. But I wish I did have it, or maybe not, because I probably wouldn't have grown. But had someone told me, well, instead of focusing on that, What are the positive things? What are some of the good things that she sees within her relationship with her child, and what are some of the things that her child is doing that bring her child joy, that she can encourage? Because one of the things that Dr. Stephen Shore said when he was growing up as a child, and this was, you know, back in the, you know, 60s, 70s, and probably more so for him in the 70s. I think he's younger than me. But he said that it was when his parents started imitating him, you know, in a positive way, that he realized, oh, there are other people in my world who want to interact with me. And he said because they were doing what I was doing with coming from a place of love, because his parents truly did want to communicate with their child. He said that opened and it opened his shell, and I'm using that loosely as well. And so maybe find ways that she can step into her daughter's world. If I don't know how old her daughter is, and see what happens when she does that. I believe that there's always a light at the end of the tunnel, and but the tunnel isn't as dark and as bleak as people make it seem.
The tunnel is as dark as you make it seem, and you can be the light that you want to see. I want to say this as well, peaceful, lovely lady. I don't know if you've heard of, excuse me, Dr. Temple Graydon. If you go to her website, Dr. Temple Graydon is off the chain. I don't even know how I found her movie. I just watched it one time. I was blown away. And the website, oh, God. Excuse me. If you go to her website, it's Temple, T-E-M-P-L-E, Graydon, or Grandin, I guess, GRANDIN.com. I mean, this woman has designed things that normal people didn't even think about when it comes to cows. There's so many things that she brings to the table that gets you to really see what Abraham was sharing. I'm going to post a link in the chat room right now. And I would even take the liberties and just say, you know, stay connected with Adonia. What I know, I'm just going to go out on a limb here. She'll be happy to support you and help you send you in the right direction. But I want to ask you this, Adonia. Adonia, she's actually saying her daughter is 3 years old, so she's actually very young right now. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you this, because especially when people are finding it difficult, or they're feeling guilt, or they're blaming themselves, or they believe in one side of the story and saying my child is abnormal, or everybody's telling me they can't cope with my child. Let's talk about some of the feelings you went through that you had to wrestle through. Because I don't want people to think, really, I don't want people to just think, oh yeah, you know, she probably, you know, human beings come up with so many reasons not to hear what they need to hear. Oh yeah, she probably have a supportive parent. She probably had money. She, you know, all this kind of stuff. But what were the things that you had to wrestle through while this tunnel was so dark for you, that if anybody even told you about a light, you might want to punch them? You were just so in there. What were the feelings you had to wrestle through?
I was very guilty, extremely guilty. I mean, first and foremost, I wasn't the little girl who, oh, I can't wait till I get married and have children. And oh, I wasn't that little girl. Nope, I was like, I've got to get married, and had no clue. Actually, I was going to grow up, didn't know if I was going to get married. I knew I was going to have a dog. That much I knew. My son, you know, and much to my chagrin, and I say that jokingly, my prince is not a fan of dogs, so there you go. But I was very guilty, and then I was angry because I didn't have the support structure. And then I had to go to, you know, I went to the internet, and that's probably the worst place. When you first get a diagnosis and you're like, autism support groups and like 50 million results show up, I mean, it was overwhelming. But it was the guilt that imprisoned me for and the anger. Because, you know, at one point I went through the, because I was only dating my son's father, and surprise! So, and then our relationship ended. And so, you know, before autism even came into light, I was already in that space of blame everybody for all the bad things that happened in my life kind of situation. And that was okay for me to feel those things. And so, to say that I wasn't ticked off, I absolutely was. To say at times that I wasn't embarrassed would be a complete lie.
What were you embarrassed about?
Because since I didn't understand, I would go out in public, and then he would do his little things, you know, flailing his arms or the echolalia, which is, you know, repeating something over and over, or the scripting, you know, because he has a memory like an elephant, doesn't forget anything. He can recite a movie that he hasn't seen in 4 years. An incredible memory. And so in the early years, I didn't get all of these things. And since I was very much, and I'll say it about myself, very self-absorbed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, was, you know, the child is supposed to conform to my way. It's my way, and that's it. That was how I was in all of my relationships. If you did anything that displeased me in any way, I was going to have to cut you off. Because I was, that just did not please me. So thankfully, he did show up in the beautiful way that he did, because life is different now. But back then, I was very much, you know, still, that's great that I have a child, but I'm still going to be me, and nothing is going to change that. And surprise, you know, he was three weeks before his fourth birthday. Mm-hmm. I sat across from a school psychologist, and they said he displays autistic-like behavior, and I just sat there, okay, and went home, probably drank a bottle of wine, maybe had some rum and cokes. I did not know how to deal with it. You know, single mom, didn't know how to deal with it. I was grateful to be working from home, so that allowed me to be in my own space, you know, in solitude, but more like solitary confinement once the diagnosis came about.
Wow.
And so I know what it's like. So I'm not sitting here trying to give people the impression that, oh, once autism came to me, yes, I had my human emotions, but then I evolved. No. I was pissed off. I was angry. And the self-centered person in me at that time was, you know, I can't believe that this has happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was literally how I felt about it. And so 6 years later, grateful for the transformation. Absolutely, absolutely grateful. But so I get if a parent is feeling that way, I just want them to know that no. I wasn't always meditating and seeing this as a gift. I was pretty ticked off to be having to deal with something else is how I saw it.
And you were like, I didn't want a child. All I wanted was a dog.
You know, exactly. I was like, how am I supposed to travel the world and have it all about me with my poodle? No, I didn't really want a poodle, but, you know, with the child and this problem, you know. So I was, I had a lot to move through and shift. And a lot of it stemmed from my own childhood wounds that needed to be dealt with. It wasn't my son that had to be dealt with. It was the things within me. So,
and that's such a great point you brought up there, because everybody wants to be enlightened, or most people wants to be enlightened and be, you know, one with God and be harmonious and be free and be loving and be compassionate. But sometimes it's almost like we want to be microwaved into that way of consciousness. Do you remember a particular thing that just, maybe you did or not, but was there a time when you just had this light bulb moment and you just shifted? Something happened and you finally got it, that you have an enlightened being in your life and you're the one that needs to change, not him.
It wasn't until, it's very interesting, is that it's all, I have no concept of time, yay. I'm like, is today Wednesday? You know, I'm one of those people, you know, just really have no concept of time. But it wasn't as if I didn't have an epiphany, so to speak, where my son was concerned. It was when I really started to get into meditation, probably say a little more than 2 years ago. So it still took me. Like I said, my diagnosis showed up, and I say our diagnosis showed up in 2005. And so it still took me that I had a 4-year span before I decided to go within and try and to look for within me, why was I showing up? Why was I showing up this way? Because I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy. I was very defensive and wasn't happy. And so I started floating back in meditation and learning how to just be with myself and be still with myself. And it was these things that started showing up because I blamed my mom. Oh, my mom, she was a wonderful woman. I didn't know my biological father, but, I can't blame him for not being there. He just didn't want to be there. C'est la vie. But I did for many, many, many years, blamed other people for all of my stuff. There was zero accountability in my life. It was everybody else's fault. Ex-husbands, blah, 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 everybody. Everybody else did stuff to me. But when I started meditating, I started getting answers. And that the epiphanies of, oh, that's why my mom did that. Ah. I started understanding the people that I had been pointing the one finger at and not paying attention to the others pointing back at me. But anyway, I was pointing at one finger and shaking it rather well. That's when I started experiencing an openness within myself. That it was because I was choosing to understand the women before me and the things that they had gone through. My mother was born in segregated Atlanta, Georgia. Her mother was born to sharecroppers. Me and autism probably is nothing compared to what my mother was going through and what my grandmother and so I when I went back through my line of the incredible women, just in the women in my life, I went, you know what, this, I'm like, I got this. Autism, piece of cake. I'm like, this is not a struggle comparatively speaking. I can do this, and I need to clean up my act so that the cycle ends with me. Sorry.
Wow. As I listen to you, oh my God, as I listen to you, I hear exactly what Abraham was saying, is that these beings, they come here to teach us unconditional love. And while you went on that journey of embracing yourself with all the pain, the guilt that you were feeling, you were able to get in touch with things that you weren't even conscious about. You start to go back in your own history, and you were able to look at your life now and your mother's, your ancestors' life through the eyes of God, which brought about the healing.
Yeah.
You know?
it makes life makes it a lot more interesting when we reflect and look back on the people who have come before us. And I know a lot of times people don't want to go into their past because of the pain, but it is when we look at that pain and heal it and move through it instead of always stepping around it, that our lives truly become, in a lot of ways, quite magical. And for me, it was by healing my own pain, because apparently I had quite a bit of it. I was able to. I was, I'm more better equipped spiritually and emotionally to raise this incredible kid who wakes up smiling and goes to sleep smiling. I'm like, really, when I grow up, can I be like you? It's pretty cool.
Yes. Adonia Wong is the author of In My Mind, right? Let me pull this up quickly. Yes, In My Mind, The World Through the Eyes of Autism. And Adonia, we got a call. I got a question for you. Celeste wants to ask you a question about supporting a mother with autism. Celeste, you're live.
Hello, this is a very powerful show, and I thank the both of you. But I have a friend, a little friend, I will nickname him D, and he came into my life. I see him every day if I'm catching a bus versus walking. And I noticed that his mom didn't have a lot of patience with him, And I had to go through my walk about how I felt about that. So he's actually one of those kids that I would hand a toy to distract from a slap or a smart comment. But then I noticed that I had been holding a lot of resentment for the mother. So, Adanya, my sister, I'm asking you for strategies. I don't know if Dee has autism, but I do know that there are challenges. And I don't want to send out energy to his mother judgment because I'm like, well, he just wants you to look at the tree. Why can't you look at the tree with him? Which actually happened this week. So what are some strategies do you think community people can do if they're out and about and perhaps there's some tension going on where you can at least invite some love into the situation and honor both the child and the mother?
Well, interestingly enough, sometimes it can be a bit tricky because when you step into somebody else's zone, it's, oh, no, you didn't get all up in my business, kind of. You might get one of those reactions, but first and foremost, you know since you see him on the daily and I believe we're all on a spiritual path. You've just chosen one direction, and some people, everybody, and other people are walking a different direction. If you know that you are going to see them on their during your travels, first and foremost, we don't know what she's going through. So when we remove the judgment and detach ourselves in that way, then you can lead more with a compassionate heart, and that's the energy that you're going to send forward because I don't know what she's going through. I mean, having been there, she could be very much alone. She could be in a space where financially she isn't as healthy as she would like to be. There could be so many things that she is dealing with just within herself. And if you're probably near her, because I know what that feels like. Because there's times I have to snap myself out of it too. It's like send love. Come from a place of love. Come from a place of love, and it's a constant state of being mindful. Start from there. If you know you're going to see her, send that energy forward, because we have within ourselves the ability to shift what shows up for us based on how we're showing up.
Yes, that's beautiful. Ooh. Thank you. I'll be listening again. I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you, Celeste. Adanya, thank you. Yes, autism is a gift not just to the parents or parent of an autistic child, but it's a gift to the whole world. It's a gift to society. If we're willing to see it, we will. If not, we won't. As we get ready to release the show, you were going to say something?
Oh, no. I know we were coming to an end, and I know some people probably have an issue with the word gift. And maybe if it makes people more comfortable, there are so many lessons with autism where that society, that humanity can learn from. Oh my God! I tell you what, this has been one of those shows that have tested my emotions. There is a lot to learn. Whether you yourself are living with autism personally, with a family member, because I know there are people who have been diagnosed themselves with autism, whether you see somebody on the street, in the restaurant, whatever the case may be, the lesson in autism is how are you showing up, how are you communicating, and how are you interacting with the world around you, and how are you interacting, how are you with yourself? Mm-hmm. So I think there are so many incredible lessons in that, and when we see the lessons and understand the lessons, then then the gift is absolutely will be seen as a beautiful thing.
Indeed. And, you know, just really letting parents know, even if you're a place and peaceful love lady, even if you're at a place where you don't see it as a gift, you don't have to see it as a gift. See it as what it is. Let your relationship with your enlightened being, your enlightened child, be you guys create what it is for you. We say it's a gift. I came up with the title, and Betty and I were talking about it. But don't just take, because we say it's a gift, that has got to be a gift. Let it be what it is. Let the experience teach you what is happening for you and your family here. And as I listen to you, Donna, you bring the raw emotions, the raw, the honesty, what's always missing in science and in the medical field. You know, we just want to deal with stats and studies and experiment. But when we get to experience somebody who's going through it and growing through it, it brings something totally different. And from what you're sharing, really, you put in a human perspective to what the non-physical beings, Abraham, was sharing. Because what I've heard today, if I was to summarize everything you've shared with us, is you have learned to listen, to love differently, to communicate differently, to grow. And most people want to do that. Most people want to do that. They want to grow. They want to love, as I said earlier. But we're not always open to the work that it takes. So thank you for being a spiritually matured, grounded human being to take this on for us and be an example. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Ade. Thank you for having me.
And I am especially grateful as a radio host, a producer. I am so grateful that you showed up just before I even knew that I was going to need you very much.
That's how I roll. You didn't know that?
I know now.
So I got the nudge that I was like, you know what? And I posted it on your Facebook. You know, we need to get together again, and how divine.
Yes,
how divine.
That's what
that
you said.
Those are my guides. Yeah, those are my guides telling me, you need to chat with Ade again.
And I am so grateful you did. And, you know, and that's the thing. When we trust the moment, when we trust the process of life, there's nothing to trip about. You know, I can choose to be mad or upset or why, you know, I had this all planned out and I only had one guest instead of two. That's my choice. But I can look at the gift or the beauty and say, you know what? Everything happened just the way it needed to. Rupert couldn't make it. Adonia was right there. And she extended herself even before I knew I was going to need her. So I am grateful. And that's real living. That's life. Reverend Michael was saying yesterday, the Spiritual Adjustment Bureau. You know, there's this beings as guides and ancestors and non-physical beings that really, they're committed to us being successful, doing the best we are here to do, if we can only surrender. And Adonia, thank you. I bow to you. I honor you. I thank you. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that I met you. And you're a beautiful human being. And I thank God for you. Thank
and
you,
I
my
thank
sister.
God for you. Thank you so much, Ade. Thank you. This was great fun. And again, if people want to connect with me, you know, particularly and chat about autism, my personal website, theadoniawong.com, is the best way to reach out to me, because that's where I've got most of the information on autism.
Right, indeed. Thank you, my sister. Have a wonderful
thank
day,
you,
and we'll talk. We'll talk real soon, like in a matter of minutes.
Thanks so much, Ade. Peace and blessings to everyone, and namaste.
Namaste. Love you, darling. Life is good and it's getting better. It is. It is. There is a power in now. And Adonia's, one of her websites is Now and Zen. You know, when we can stay in the now, when we can trust the process. And even in the now, if you're angry, upset, mad, if you can just recognize you're that, that's good enough. You can just say, I'm mad, I'm pissed, I'm annoyed. That's a gift. Because love without conditions is simply that. If you're mad, pissed, angry, upset, and you can still love yourself there, wow, you're giving yourself a gift. You're giving yourself a gift. And I'm so grateful. I reflect on my life, especially the last few months, and I'm just in gratitude. There's so much that I experience that I feel, it's like, wow, to be, to be a place for transformation, to be a channel to get to have conversations that we normally don't hear. Yesterday I was watching Primetime on ABC, and they did a program called Beyond Belief. And great program, you know, talks about people who died and went to heaven, as they understand it. The only thing that I found about the program that was flawed was they captured an atheist minister, funny enough, and people who believe in God, religious people. And they were doing scientific studies to see what really happens when we die. They're trying to investigate life after death. And I found myself getting annoyed, like, what happened to the people in between? The us's that call ourselves spiritual. Why didn't they get that? Why didn't they have somebody who understands that there are many paths to God? And I was going to tweet about it, and I said, why am I even going to do that? I was going to put it on my Facebook page. I said, you know, it's pointless. You're already doing that. And there are other people that I know that are doing that. So that's all that matters. It doesn't matter what the mass media talk about, you know, what the doctors say and say it's vaccine or not. The question is, are you open to the transformation that is showing up in your life? Well, I am grateful. I'm grateful for you listeners, for your sharing the show, listening, your feedback, and what you're doing in your own life, things I don't know about. You know, we're all here to make a difference. We are all here to be an expression of unconditional love. And get this, wherever you are is wherever you are. Even if you're judging yourself, it's all good. It is all good. See yourself through the eyes of God. It's Thursday. I'll be back next Monday. But before I go, I want to get an announcement here. Listeners, you may remember a wonderful guest that we had, Gio LeBeau, and we were functioning minds together on Life Conversations Radio. She's going to be joining my brother Emilio, Elevate the Soul, on Blog Talk Radio. If you're new to this experience, just go to blogtalkradio.com, and in the search box, type Elevate the Soul. He will take you to his page. And Jill LeBeau, she is a wonderful woman, beautiful spirit. And let's keep the conversation going. I am. So much emotions, less words. And I just thank you all for being who you are. And as my co-producer said, there is enough. You are enough. And life is good. We'll be back Monday. Oh, quick announcement. Monday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, join me for Wake Up Lightworkers, where we answer questions from lightworkers who are sometimes struggling to find the light in their own lives. Because sometimes we just make it complicated. But it's not necessary. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, know that all is well. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. I thank God for you. Continue to make a difference. And I trust and know that you are living life in a holy, holy way. Agape Choir, agapelive.com, agapelive.com. Be well, be still, and be grateful. See you on Monday. And don't go a day without Life Coach Ade. Listen to the archive. Peace and blessings.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move,